Amen. Thank you, young people. Give choice, give wisdom the choices that I make. We make a lot of choices in our lives, don't we, on a regular basis. The Word of God teaches us that we need to approve all things and hold on to that which is good. We need to make wise choices. Rand Hummel used to say there's two options on the shelf, pleasing God and pleasing self. Remember, he used to have a little shelf that was kind of like a craft that was up on there. And you'd have two blocks up on there, and one said God and one said self. And those are those two options that are commonly on our shelf of our lives. We get to those points of decision, and I trust that you're habitually making the choice to please God and not to please yourself. One day we want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of living." And looking forward to that blessed day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me in your Bible this morning to Psalm 9. Psalm 9, by way of introduction. Psalm 9 may not seem familiar to you, but I think a number of you I've probably heard one of the verses that I want to use to begin the message with this morning. But I want to begin by asking you a question. Do you believe as a whole America has forgotten God? Think about it in your life just for a moment. Think about what are some of the evidences that you see. If you believe that America has forgotten God, what are some of the evidences that are out there? I'm sure for the various ones of us, it really depends what generation we are in. For some of you, you look back a few more years than I do. I'm 51. Some of you can look back 61 years, 71, others 81, and we have them in the 90s here. You can look back a little bit further than I can. You can look back actually a generation further than I can. Even I can remember a little bit of in school having teachers who would actually have a prayer time in school. You'd actually have a Bible club. I remember teachers sharing with us a truth and then showing us how that is found in the Word of God. You know, in situations like that, we recognize, boy, there's one of the evidences that America's forgotten God. When I first entered into school, it was just when the transition was coming to beginning teaching evolution. But I can remember in some of the early years, those teachers dismissed evolution. They taught it, but only as a theory that's out there and a theory that they did not believe. Today we live in a different generation. Some of our young people have never been taught the Word of God, never had a prayer in the, never been taught the Word of God in school, never heard a prayer being ushered in school. I remember in the mornings, there would be somebody over a loudspeaker that would pray every morning before we started school. It's just, again, that putting evolution now into the school and taking out creation. For a while, they taught both as theories. They dismissed evolution and taught creation. After a while, they taught both as theories and both had a possibility. And then they went to both as theories and they taught evolution and dismissed Christianity. Now, by and large, they only teach evolution. Maybe you notice that America forgot God by coming to church this morning. Usually busy on the roads in the morning, isn't it? Monday through Friday, Saturday. Isn't it interesting? You come to Sunday and the roads are really clear out. Hardly anybody on the roads anymore because why is that? America's forgotten God. We could go on and on with the list of things, how they're trying to remove in God we trust. One nation under God. But there are many evidences that America has forgotten God. It's interesting as we get to Psalm 9, David, the author of this psalm, and it has been taught that David actually penned this psalm not long after his son had died. His son had died, and now his attention is off of himself and off of his life and off of the life of his son who was sick and taken because of David's own sin. And his focus has gone back into the world and the world around him. And David says in Psalm 9 and verse number 17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." The word there for God is Elohim. It's talking about a sovereign God, but the emphasis very often is this: the sovereign God who is a judge. In fact, if you would, go back to verse number 8. Look what he says there. David again's instruction: "He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness." So here is a sovereign God who is the judge of the world, and there are nations that have forgotten Him. It says in Psalm 50 and verse number 6, "The heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself." It says in Psalm 75 and verse number 7, "But God is the judge, He putteth down one and setteth up another." One of the recognitions that the psalmists have, and I trust that you have in your life, is that God is a sovereign judge who one day is going to judge in righteousness, going to judge in uprightness. Dear friend, He's not going to just judge nations, but if you would remember, it started with, "The wicked shall be turned into hell." God is not only going to judge nations, He's going to judge individuals. God is going to judge every one of us. You'll either be judged with other Christians at the judgment seat of Christ, or you'll be judged with the unsaved at the great white throne judgment. I want you to notice again a little bit more emphasis taken out here of what David instructs us here. Now recognize, David is not a preacher from 100 years ago. David is a man of God from centuries ago. David is a man of God who didn't have a New Testament. David lived far before the New Testament. David is a man of God who is holding on to the Pentateuch, early writings of the Word of God, and holding on to a strong belief that God is a sovereign God who will one day judge. Look what he says in some of these verses. Notice verse number 10. "And they that know thy name," he's going to reference them throughout this psalm as really the poor, those who don't have much. It kind of goes back to the idea of the poor in spirit. He says that "they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings." Verse number 12, "When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remember them, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble." So God isn't forgetting anything. God is keeping count. God is recognizing who are His children. But notice the change beginning with verse 17. "The heathen." The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net that they have hid, is their own foot taken. There's a wonderful passage of Scripture that gives us this imagery. The wicked have designed a trap for the righteous. And the wicked have laid a snare. And the idea is that as the righteous come by, they're going to fall down into this pit that they have neatly covered. But the imagery of this is God is so awesome in protecting His own. As the righteous are walking by, at the exact moment the righteous are walking by, the wicked are falling into their own pit. Can you get the imagination? Can you get the imagery? Can you see at a distance, here are the righteous walking by, and here are the wicked falling into their own pit that they have made to ensnare the righteous? Well, that's the idea even taken up with verse number 15. Verse number 17, "The Lord is known by the judgment which He executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. And it says, Hegeon, Selah, and it has the idea, stop and meditate on this. Think about their enslaving themselves. And one day they'll be judged for it. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forgot God. Verse number 19, arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. I found it interesting to just keep reading. Often in the Psalms we stop. Each psalm in its sense almost seems as if it is a book in and of itself. It has its own message. But sometimes you will recognize that psalms are connected, such as Psalm 20, 22, 23, and 24. There's definitely a connection between those three psalms. Well, there's a definite connection between Psalm 9 and Psalm 10. Would you just notice a couple of thoughts here about the heathen or the wicked that David's going to develop a little bit further in the next psalm? He's going to say, you know what? They're categorized by this, what they say in their heart. Look with me at Psalm 10 and verse number 6. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. The wicked have this idea, boy, I'm never going to face what the righteous face. Look what it says in verse number 11. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Boy, how foolish the wicked are in thinking God forgets, God overlooks, God is blind to what they are doing. Look at verse number 17, or verse 13, excuse me. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God, meaning they spurn him, they reject him. He has said in his heart, that will not require it. I'm not going to have to stand before God and be judged. God's never going to hold me accountable for what I'm doing. You know, all of these things are evidences in the heart that the wicked have forgotten God. What's Psalm 14 and verse number 1 say? Psalm 14 and verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no what? There is no God. But the Word of God also teaches us, let God be true and every man a liar. I want to talk to you today about when a nation forgets God. It's in this tone. Because how do you get to there? How do you get to the place where you're saying in your heart, there is no God? God won't remember what I've done. God won't hold me accountable. Are there not some steps of decline? I mean, have we not seen steps of decline in America? Have we not seen this nation getting further and further and further away from the Lord? Wasn't there a time when revivals were stirred in America and there were men preaching the truths and men who were Christians filling the public offices? I want to look at this and give us a warning as Christians of how we need to be careful lest we forget the Lord. Let us pray as we get into the message this morning. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, recognizing that we need these truths this morning that will help guide our lives, that will help keep us from falling into the temptation, the same trap, the same snare of forgetting you. Father, we live in a nation that has drifted and have rightly have forgotten you because of their activity. They have proved they've forgotten you by what they say, by what's going on in their heart. But, oh Father, if we are not careful as Christians, the same could be said of us. Guard us and help us to guard ourselves. Teach us and help us to teach ourselves. May we grasp the truths of your word this morning that will be helpful to us in our Christian lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you turn with me now to the book of Deuteronomy, back toward the front of your Bible, turn to your left. back to the book of Deuteronomy, and this time to the fourth chapter. Again, I have found through the study of the Word of God, it's not just the wicked, it's not just the heathen that have this tendency of forgetting the Lord. Even we as Christians, even God's people, have had this tendency throughout all of this world's history of forgetting the Lord. And sadly, it's not when the trials come. Sadly, it's usually when the blessings come. When God has been good to us, when we're not forced to depend upon Him, and I think that's part of what's driven our nation to the point of where it is. Our nation was thriving so well financially that we began to drift from the Lord spiritually. Yes, this nation has always had its evil influences. This nation has always had its corruptness and its wickedness. This nation has always had its sound preaching as well, and the upholding of the Word of God and the proclaiming of the truths. But our nation, in its prosperity, has forgotten God. Well, the same thing can happen to a born-again Christian, and I want to show us by God's warning to His own children, the children of Israel. I want us to see, first of all, Christian, I'm talking to you, Christian, you must diligently be guarding your heart. Christian, you must diligently be guarding your heart. I know what the tendency is. I know the tendency is for us to focus on others. I know the tendency is to focus on our government, or to focus on our nation as a whole. I know the tendency is for us to focus on the new evangelical churches and their drift from Christianity. I know the focus is to look at others, but I want you this morning to set your eyes upon your own heart. And what Christians are needing to be called to do is this, to guard, diligently guard their own heart. Let's look at the Word of God here, beginning with Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I want to begin with verse number 4. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. There was in the history of Israel a generation that knew not the Lord. There was a generation that did not obey the voice of the Lord, and because of that, that generation needed to die in the wilderness. And every one of them died in the wilderness. But the next generation was trusting in the Lord. The next generation, God wanted to take over the Jordan River into that land that He had promised unto Abraham and to his children after them. He says, ye did cleave unto the Lord your God, and are alive every one of you this day. Verse number 5, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments. This is the great Moses speaking, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land where ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. Guard and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Dear friend, this is where we've gotten away from. We've leaned upon our own understanding. In all of our ways, we are to acknowledge Him, and He should direct our path. But what has happened? We've begun to lean unto our own understanding. He says, what you need to do is remain in the Word of God and keep that to be what you understand about life. Dear friends, so much of our understanding about life is taken from the world and not from the Word. You talk to people about where they're getting their information and their education. It is really sad to see how many mark as the number one influence of their life the television. What is it? They're founding their life, they're basing their life on the foundation of what this world tells them. He says, dear children, when you enter into that land, hear the Word of God. This is to be what is the foundation of your understanding. This is what is to give you wisdom. And dear Christian, that hasn't changed in this generation. The Word of God is to be the understanding that we have of this world and what's going on in this world. Look as the passage continues to unfold. Verse number 6. which shall hear these all these statutes in the middle and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is so great that hath statutes and judgment so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? He says, what nation out there is as great as this nation, who has the blessings of the Lord upon it, who has the law of God upon it and in their hearts, who is instructed by the Lord in how to live? What nation out there is there that compares? Dear friend, I am not trying to liken America to Israel as a whole, but I want you to know, as Christians, there has been no body, there has been no church so great and so close to the Lord and so well instructed as the born-again Christian and the local church. And notice what he goes on to say in verse number 9, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. What's the next three words? Lest thou forget. Isn't it interesting? He's not talking to the ungodly world out there. He's not talking to the Canaanites, the Hittites. He's not talking to the Midianites. He's not talking to other nations who never knew the Lord. He's talking to the children of Israel who has experienced the blessedness of the Lord, the close relationship of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord, and he's warning them, be careful lest you forget the Lord. Dear friend, when 9/11 struck, I can remember over and over the Christians saying, when will this world ever wake up? And I don't believe 9/11 was a call for the world to wake up as it was a call for Christians to wake up. And Christians to recognize the day is almost past. And we have to do the work of the Lord while we have time. Now I praise God there were evangelists and pastors who were able to flood the areas of New York and even flood the area of the Pentagon and bring the truths of the Word of God, and they were able to have a tremendous outreach. But it isn't very long till we've forgotten the Lord again, is it? Again, he is warning those people who've been living in prosperity, who've been close to the Lord, and he says, what you need to do is take heed to yourself. Our tendency is to look at others who are further away from the Lord and say, oh, look at them and how they need the Lord. Dear friend, how we need the Lord. How we as Christians need to be on a daily basis doing this, taking heed to ourselves and keeping our soul diligently before the Lord, lest we forget. Lest we thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. I was raised in a Christian home. Thankful for my father who's since gone on to be in the presence of the Lord. And thankful for my mother who's in our presence. I was raised as my parents would take us to church on a regular basis. My parents at one time were youth leaders and youth directors, influencing the lives of young people. My dad had given his life and our family to go to a Christian camp and to serve there full time, to again influence people's lives. But I can remember a split coming in our church. And as a young person, our family left the church that was preaching the Word so strongly and went to a church that wasn't as strong in the truths of the Word of God. I remember the drift that started to come in our lives, or at least my life personally. Remember, I didn't know the Lord as well. Wasn't ever in His Word. At one time I was memorizing his word for VBS and Sunday school. I didn't ever memorize the word of God any longer. I remember actually coming up with excuses of why I couldn't go to church. I've said it before. My brother and I would trade off weeks where he'd come up with an excuse one week, and I, as such a loving brother, would volunteer to stay home with him so I could watch him while he had to miss church. Well, my parents were probably a lot wiser than we. We thought we had them fooled all that time. I'm sure they knew what was going on in our hearts. But they kind of left us to our own way for a little while. And I can remember going back to Mount Zion Baptist Church in Brogue, Pennsylvania, and sitting back under the preaching. And I remember the preacher, or it was a teacher, on a Wednesday night. And he was talking about a man and a great fish. And I remember sitting in that class that evening thinking, I heard that story somewhere. And it wasn't until he got through his introduction and told us to turn to the book of Jonah that I recognized I forgot one of the foundational stories of the Word of God. You see, folks, here growing up in America, and we get our eyes off of the Lord, and if we don't guard our own heart, we'll lose it, we'll forget. I would have never thought I would have forgotten the stories of David and Goliath and Jonah and the whale and the other stories, but I forgot. As a teenager, I had to be re-instructed in the things of the Lord. I was now 15 years of age and was like a babe in Christ who had never heard it before. You see, dear friend, I think we have this idea we can get saved and attend the church faithfully and just kind of cruise life on out. Guard your heart diligently, lest you forget how good God has been to you. Lest you turn away. You know, I learned a number of years ago, probably about 12 years ago, I used to not so much pray for our seniors. Well, I pray for the seniors. They're so faithful. They've served the Lord so many years. Surely they're going to just kind of at least drift into eternity serving the Lord. Boy, was I wrong. You know, for seniors, there's new temptations such as they've never faced before. You recognize that when every pen in your home you pick up has a doctor's office name on it, don't you? Boy, I've been there often. I'm coming home with our pens now. Your calendars now have a prescription coupon at the top. You recognize, boy, I'm in a different phase of life. I'm in a different stage. And you know what? It's even a temptation for seniors to fall away. Dear Christian, what we need to be doing is need to be guarding our heart. And the best guard for your heart is the Word of God, to stay in a constant abiding relationship with the Lord, a deeper abiding relationship with the Lord, not just trying to quickly get through the Bible and say I've done it, but actually learning from the Word of God and applying it to our hearts and lives and living differently because of what the Word of God says. First of all, Christian, you must diligently be guarding your heart. Look down to verse number 11, if you would, or excuse me, verse number 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of God. But I need to move forward. Secondly, Christian, you must diligently be guarding your children's heart. You must diligently be guarding your children's hearts. Maybe it's grandchildren even, and great-grandchildren. Not only guarding your own heart, but guarding the heart of those who are within your household and within your immediate influence. Teachers, guarding the hearts of your students. Look what it says at verse number 9 again. I want to take it back for that being the premise of this message. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But here's the alternative. Teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. He said, teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Teach them to the generations which would follow. Would you turn over to chapter 6 with me as we go forward? Chapter 6, Hear, O Israel, verse number 4. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And one of the evidences is that you love Him with all your heart, soul, and might is you want to talk to your own family about Him. You want to teach them and diligently teach them. You want to keep His truths before you. Look at the verses that follow. And these words which I command thee, verse 6 of chapter 6, this day shall be in thine heart, not just in your head, in your heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently. Notice that we're to guard our heart diligently, and then we're to teach them diligently. Teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, morning and evening. All day long, whether you're in your house or out somewhere, talking to them about the things of the Lord. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine forehead, and thou shalt be as frontlets before thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. You know what, dear friends, I haven't written them on the post of my house. I don't have a gate, I'm sorry. But I do have 3x5 guards, and since Caleb has really been emphasizing in the Sunday evenings we be hiding the Word of God in our hearts, I've gotten those 3x5 cards back out. They remind me of the verse cards when I was in college. Boy, in college, if you were one of the well-studied ones, you'd have a ring about that big around. You would have maybe up to 400 verses on that ring. You would stand in the lunch line, and instead of talking to others, you'd be flipping the little cards. They were about 1.5 inches by about 2 inches. And you'd be flipping card after card. You were memorizing them for doctrines class. You were memorizing them for the book of Hebrews class. You were memorizing them for personal evangelism class. You were memorizing verses for everything. And you were flipping through those verses. I got those 3x5 cards back out, and they're on my desk again. I've got a screensaver, and it's got verses. I've got a desktop, and it's got the monthly memory verse. Somehow, I'm trying to get the Word of God before mine eyes again. And dear friends, what we ought to be doing is teaching and instructing, and one way to teach your children is by having the Word of God around the house. It ought to be an influence in their lives. And thou shalt write them there, verse number 9 and verse number 10. And it shall be, look at this, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells which thou diggest not, and vineyards which you didn't plant, and so forth. When the good and the plenty that God has given comes upon you, then beware, verse number 12. Then beware lest thou what? Forget the Lord. Do you notice when the temptation is to forget the Lord? In the midst of prosperity, in the midst of His blessing, in the midst of His personal care for your life, in the times of God's goodness, rich and full, beware lest thou forget the Lord. When's the last time you taught your children the things of the Lord? When's the last time you took those little ones and sat them down and instructed them on what the books of the Bible? You know, it's a shame there are not many Christians today even know the books of the Bible. We used to sing them in songs. One of the key things we would memorize is the books of the Bible. So when the preacher got up and said, turn to the book of Hezekiah, you knew where to turn. There is no book of Hezekiah, dear friend, if you're wondering where that one is. But they get us with that one every time in Sunday school class. I'd be looking away for that verse book and couldn't find it. Your parent, you ought to be teaching the things of the Lord, and if you don't have the opportunity to teach your children, or if like ours, your children are grown, you ought to start investing in your grandchildren. You have those opportunities. Do more than spoil them, okay? Do more than turning them back to their parents as spoiled brats. What you ought to be doing is sharing with them the Word of God. Because, dear friend, largely what your children believe is going to be based on what you've taught them. and what you've shown them. You see, sometimes we believe just having them in the church once in a while is good enough. We've forgotten. We've forgotten it takes a diligent guarding of the heart, constant guarding of the heart, to keep us from forgetting the Lord. You know, dear friend, I am concerned as you about America. But more than I am concerned about America, I'm concerned about the churches of America. And more than just being concerned about the churches of America, I'm concerned about the conservative fundamental churches of America. And more than just being concerned about them, I'm concerned about the Christians who sit in those churches. Lest we forget the Lord. Let us pray. Have you forgotten the Lord? One of the evidences that you've forgotten the Lord is you're not diligently guarding your heart. And you're not diligently teaching your children, if that's the case with your life. So take those as the... We need to make this measurable. We need to make this more objective than just subjective. So we need to examine our own lives and say, you know what, have I forgotten the Lord? And the way I can tell is, am I guarding my heart regularly, daily, diligently? Am I instructing my children? Am I really caring about the future of my children and instructing them daily the things of the Lord? Diligently, whether rising up or sitting down, whether morning or evening, whether they're gone out the door or in the gates, are they being confronted with the Word of God? Who would say, Pastor, as you preached this morning, boy, I recognize America has forgotten the Lord. I saw that. I've been seeing that. But, Pastor, as you've preached this morning, I'm recognizing I'm forgetting the Lord. And oh, how more concerned I ought to be about my own soul and about the souls of my own children. Oh, Pastor, God is dealing with my heart this morning. I've been forgetting the Lord. I have not been diligently guarding my heart nor my children's. And God is dealing with my heart. Would you pray for me just with an upraised hand? God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. There are parents raising their hands. God bless you. There are grandparents raising their hands. God bless you. There are people without children raising their hands. God bless you. Thank you. Yes, yes. And you. Thank you. May put those hands down. Folks, are we diligently guarding our hearts? Or have we been forgetting the Lord? Dear friend, if you're here today and know not the Lord Jesus Christ, this message was not formally meant for you, but I want you to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Every one of us has been born sinners in need of a Savior. Every one of us has been born sinners in need of forgiveness. Every one of us need to know Jesus Christ intimately in order to get to see the Father. Dear friend, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you're not sure about that, would you raise your hand? Allow me to recognize that you're not sure you're saved and on your way to heaven. I'd love to pray for you. I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Anyone at all? God bless you. Thank you. May put that hand down. Anyone else? Not 100% sure. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. May put that hand down. Anyone else? Your Father, you've seen the hands, and beyond that, you've seen the heart. Father, there are some that are not sure of their salvation. May even today be the day of their salvation. They don't want to be known as one of the wicked, one of the heathen, one of those that are turned into hell, one of those judged by the sovereign God who judgeth righteousness. In righteousness and in uprightness. Oh, Father, would you bring them under deep conviction? May your Spirit work within your heart. May you draw them to their self, to yourself, that they may bow the knee and confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, Father, for those Christians that have raised their hand, would you continue to do business with them? May they test their own heart. May they diligently seek whether they've forgotten you or not. May those parents take that personal responsibility of bringing their children up in the nurture and admonition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do business now in our hearts. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you please stand to your feet as the pianist plays, I surrender it all. All to Jesus I surrender. Maybe you want to surrender your life. You don't know Jesus Christ for sure. Won't you come? Allow us to take the opportunity to show how you can get saved. If you'd like to come, won't you come? Just step out and come down the aisle here. Ask somebody to come with you if you need. If you're not 100% sure, won't you even respond today? Dear Christian, if God has dealt with your heart, this is an opportunity for you, where you are or at the altar, to make a decision for our Lord Jesus Christ. The decision is, Lord, would you help me to diligently search my own heart? Would you help me to diligently guard my own soul? Would you help me to diligently guard the soul of my children and grandchildren? Won't you bear that weight of responsibility, parent, grandparent, great-grandparent? Won't you say, you know what? If it's for my children to see the Lord, I need to show it. If my grandchildren are going to see the Lord, it's up to me to show them. Surrender it all. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, thanking you for the great ministry of your word. Oh, Father, we're concerned for America. There's evidence that they've forgotten you. And I trust from this morning's message, we will understand there will be some evidences when we've forgotten you. Oh Lord, we don't want to forget you. We don't want to turn aside. We go through that book of Deuteronomy. There were evidences they turned aside. Oh Father, may we diligently guard our heart and the hearts of our children. Bless the food that's prepared for those going to the fellowship lunch. Strengthen them by it. Father, bring us back, those of who can, to the evening. When we look at habit-breaking truths, there are some sinful habits that we've allowed to continue in our lives that we need to break. Oh, Father, may we find the answer in your word tonight, and through your Son, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.